In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Most dear faithful, a question for you this morning. What do you suppose is the most likely influence or movement within our little family, our microcosm of the church, of the body of Christ, that is most likely to knock us off the path of holiness? And to do real damage to our souls, collectively and individually. You might think for a minute and say, well, whatever it is, it would have to be something really extreme. It would have to be serious, dramatic. Maybe it would be, all of a sudden, we'd be subject to rampant sin, or heresy, or apostasy, or something along those lines. But then I would ask, well, the question was most likely influences to bring us down. Can we really imagine that all of a sudden we become crazed heretics and apostates? Probably not. Then it might be a tendency on your part to say, well, okay then. Maybe the correct answer is that we're actually reasonably pretty well insulated from trouble. That we're basically fine individually as a family and as church. So in that most likely category, I guess maybe nothing can really cause us to deviate from the path. And then I would confirm to you that you just identified the greatest and probably the most insidious and hard to recognize danger lurking out there. What? What is it, you say? What is that? Well, it's not heresy. It's not apostasy. But complacency. Complacency is the greatest danger we are all most likely to face. You can protest and say, nope, I'm not lazy. And I would say, I never accused you of being lazy, because that is not the definition of complacency. The word generally means a feeling of smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements. And expanded for us here, it would be like a self-satisfaction regarding our relationship with God and His church and with the sacraments. Complacency can be thought of as a generalized indifference to spiritual growth in response to, I think, what would be prideful, dangerous, and a false sense of security in a relationship, especially in a relationship that we imagine is just fine, but actually is quite stagnant, and maybe even declining without a change of circumstance. And yet, whatever the external manifestations of spiritual decline might be, and maybe we've all experienced something like that from time to time, whether it's prayerlessness, whether it's neglect of the sacraments, whatever it might be, nothing compares to the malignant effects at the level of the soul caused by the profound diminishment of grace. The diminishment of grace. The complacent soul is unprepared to receive grace and becomes progressively numb to the presence of grace as the condition persists and worsens. Diminished grace then leads to reliance on self, reliance on our fallen human nature. Holy Scripture speaks plainly to us. Proverbs 1, verse 32. The complacency of fools will destroy them. Zephaniah 1, verse 12. I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent. The parable of 10 virgins, we know 5 of whom were foolish. In other words, they were complacent, believing that their oil would last until the bridegroom came. The great 15th century German Dutch theologian Thomas A. Kempis speaks extensively about God's desire to shower us with grace, And yet our desire too often to rely instead on our very fallible human nature. So on the threshold of Holy Lent, we can imagine that diminished grace in our preparation and participation in this holy season would have severe consequences. As Thomas A. Kempis, in his classic work, The Imitation of Christ, lauds the power of grace over nature, we then should ponder the necessary power of grace to truly inform the human experience, our experience of Holy Lent. In the words of Thomas A. Kempis, these are powerful words and truly insightful. Nature is unwilling to be mortified, checked, or overcome. Unwilling to be obedient or willingly subject to anything. Grace mortifies herself, resists sensuality, submits to control, seeks to be overcome. She does not aim at enjoying her own liberty, but loves to be under discipline. She, Grace, desires to live, abide, and exist always under God's rule. So the next question then is, this Lent, do we wish to be under the influence of nature or under the influence of grace? Well, I say, why not? Let's choose grace. Again, in the words of Thomas A. Kempis, referring to Holy Scripture, grace is a supernatural light and the special gift of God, the seal of His chosen, the pledge of salvation, which raises man from earthly things to love of the heavenly and from worldly to make him spiritual. The more, therefore, that nature is controlled and overcome, the richer is the grace bestowed, while man is daily renewed by fresh visitations after the likeness of God. So therefore, the sincerest Lenten resolutions that we make will amount to nothing in the absence of sufficient grace. Spiritual complacency numbs our desire for grace, impedes the reception of available grace. And to be soaked in the shower of the grace that God wishes to give us, then that proverbial umbrella of complacency must be taken away. And that won't happen unless each soul wills it to happen. It won't happen automatically. So therefore, before we do that Lenten thing, before we start to give up something for Lent that may end up having little or no eternal consequence, it would behoove each of us to search the conscience for even a vestige of complacency regarding our relationship with the Trinity. Why would we be satisfied with a teaspoon of grace when a barrel of grace packed down and overflowing is available from God? St. Augustine warns, if you say it is enough, you are lost. Always add, always walk, always proceed. Do not sit down on the way. St. Therese of Lisieux echoes Thomas A. Kempis, to be complacent is just to get along. Complacency does not require discipline. It does not require accountability. It does not require action. Many souls imagine that the battle against complacency must be complex and too difficult for the average faithful. Not at all. Our blessed Lord would never propose anything for our good and then make it impossible to attain. Dom Prosper Geranger, whose counsel we would all be wise to seek and follow, encourages us as we prepare to enter what should be a welcome season of penitence, a season of opportunity to reflect on the vigor, or the lack of same, of our inner life with God. The good abbot of Salem speaks about Lent as a time when the, in his quote, dry wood of spiritual apathy can be restored to green wood of spiritual vitality. Dom Guéranger offers no complex algorithm for this process, but rather he offers the surety of the available grace from what we already have, the gifts already at our fingertips, Holy Mass, the sacraments, especially confession, the application of the healing balm of penance and mortification, the walk with our Blessed Mother, the example and lives of the saints. They're ours. We have them already if we're willing to use them. Today we begin our 40 hours devotion. 40 hours available to spend with Jesus. 40 hours available in the words of that faithful peasant who said to St. John Vianney, to look at the good God while he looks at me. How many umbrellas might we put up against this opportunity to be soaked to the core with divine grace? How many times during Holy Lent might we miss or ignore the opportunity, as Dom Guéranger says, to shatter complacency? There's a veritable torrent of grace awaiting each of us, if we but overcome the hesitation, the resistance to go out into the pouring rain, to go out into the deluge of God's love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.